Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
How's it going? This is Sean. You're listening to
Sheffield Live.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Yeah, you heard it. Sweet talking sport on Sheffield.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a come true now.
I'll find out in a minute.
Yeah. But like, sort of like, that was the kind of like little part about the snooker. And also, want to move into kind of like, into a different kind of area, really. Jordan Puente is kind of like, turn things around, really, Jordan Puente. Just want to kind of like talk about a topic where some people might not kind of like really kind of like feel too kind of comfortable with, really. But just want to say about how coaches are helping tackle toxic masculinity. And, you know, how we define that is kind of like talking about what qualities somebody has as a boy, as a man, what attributes regarding their characteristics of being a man in kind of like a sporting environment. Because some people will kind of like display certain attitudes and behaviours quite differently. You know, and it's considered, what's considered as being appropriate in society. I kind of look at them kind of like, four pillars, really, of how, you know, boys, how men kind of like put themselves about in sporting environments, you know. So I kind of look, I call it, like I said, the four pillars or the four corners. And I look at the social aspects, the emotional, physical, and also I think education also plays a part in that, in being a man also too. I mean, going on to this guy, Jason Puente, he kind of like just says that he started talking about the gym. This was his kind of like mentor, what it was involved. And he was saying that in the gym, it kind of like helped him to kind of like let go certain things and focus on other things. And without him kind of like even knowing it. So he says that it helped him to also to kind of like burn energy also as well and deal with like certain problems. Like I said, without kind of like realizing that he was actually doing kind of like work on himself. Yeah. So a decade on from that, Puente has come full circle. He's now sort of 25 and he's kind of like, he's now working with young people as well. And some of these kind of like behaviours start from adolescence. And I think we've all come into contact with people like that, whether that's at school or whether that might be in a working environment, and just to show that people are different. I mean, like I said, relating it to sport, when we look at some of these players I'm going to mention, and it's not an endless list at all, we think, yeah, that player, he must have had something about football or he wouldn't have made it as a professional. But there's something about their behaviour, what made him behave a little different from other players, such as like, you know, Joey Barton, in and out of the kind of like press for the wrong reasons. He's got that kind of like little behavioural kind of thing about him. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, he's some people would have said that ADHD business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But because the temperament is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good. And he just thinks what you'd think to yourself, well, hold on a minute, right? I'm a footballer, you know, I've got to show a little bit of, you know what I mean? And he don't do that. When it goes, and he just does what he has to do.
And that to me, nah,
you shouldn't be like that, should you really? If you're in the public, you've got to what you call it, you've got to be able to control yourself. And like you said, with this, with this masculine thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There's quite a lot of that around, really. You know, where men tend to think that, yeah, they're a lot better than the female them. And the female are just there just to do a job. But these cavemen, right, that's because that's what I call them, cavemen. These cavemen, right, they don't understand that the female is the strongest. They're the strongest. You know what I'm saying? Without the female, we don't exist. Simple as. The female is the strongest. And they have to understand that. And I think it needs to be taught. A lot of that needs to be taught to them, because it depends on the environment that some of these young men are growing up in. Because if they're growing up in an environment where the male is the dominant and talks disrespectful to the mother or the fiancé or any other female around him, then they're going to follow the same path, aren't they? He does it, so I'm going to do it.
Mm.
So to me, nah, they've got to understand, like I said before, the female is the strongest. Without the female, we don't exist. You know the pain that some of these female have to go through when they're giving birth. You know, if we had to go through the pain what the women are going, we wouldn't have another one. But there's others out, the women out there are having four and five, because you know why? Because them strong. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not kind of just singling out Joey Barton. You know, like I said, there's a kind of endless list out there. Like, I mean, Vinnie Jones, you know, he was kind of one of them. You know, I saw him many times down at the lane, put on a red and white shirt. Dennis Wise could be another one. Neil Ruddock could be another contender back in the days.
Well, you have to throw Justin Fashanu in there as well, ain't it? And all them things. But you see, like you're saying, back in the day to what it is now, back in the day, it was all fun. You understand? We knew where man and man was coming from was a different thing. But like with Joey Barton and certain one of these days, to me, it's more like a mental things. You have to do things their way. And if you're not doing the things their way, they're going to flip. And that's what Joey does, whatever else. And like I said, there is others out there.
Yeah.
But the first rule for me is always down to respect.
That's correct.
You know what I'm saying? And the first rule with respect, you have to respect yourself first before you can respect anybody else.
Mm.
And I think a lot of kids, they don't have that guidance. But when they do have that guidance, so there's a lot of guys out there that does these football things or any other sport that will give them that. When it comes to sport now, there's no sport out there for me that women cannot do.
Correct.
You understand? Any sport man can do, women can do it as well. In fact, anything man can do. I mean, you see women driving HGVs now. You see women working on oil rigs now. All the man job, women do.
Listen,
you know what I mean? So
and do it better.
Well, there you go on certain things. So we cannot disregard women and all them things on it. It's just the other side of it when you want to bring the shim them night and go on with your foolishness and all them things. But when it comes to respect, you have to teach your kids them to respect themselves first and respect others, and they will prosper.
Yeah, that's so true. But if there's, just plain devil's advocate now, but if there's other things going on in their life, you know, how they're made up, like, you know,
so we're talking like home environment now and
ADHD and, you know, then they are different.
Of course.
And that needs to be kind of like schooled. It's like to understand that kind of like person, understand their behaviours. And obviously, you know, we're all different. Get them to kind of like operate and they'll learn in a different way. You know what I mean? I know you mentioned Fash the Bash. But I can remember watching something about him. And I think he deliberately behaved differently, especially when he went to play for like Millwall.
Yes, he had to,
because,
he said.
Yeah, because the fans then thought, who's this kind of black guy kind of
yes.
playing for our club? How dare he play for our club? So he kind of said to himself, do you know what? I have to win these kind of people over.
Yeah,
so even if a teammate got in a little kind of scuffle, Fash was there to sort it.
It's true,
and
sure.
People thought, wow.
Yeah, this guy, he's on him.
This guy we like.
Yeah.
And sometimes he said deliberately get a red card.
Yeah.
And they loved him.
Yeah.
Yes, Fash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that is true, that.
He kind of won them over in a different kind of way. When I compared him to like people like Billy Brenda, you know what I mean, and Keane and Duncan Ferguson.
Right.
I think they were just a different kind of breed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Compared to Fash.
Right.
Who had to kind of really earn his stripes, you could say.
Right.
In a kind of dark way, you know what I mean?
He did.
I hear that. But you know,
I mean,
what?
You have to remember remember with Fash as well, him and his brother, they were adopted.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, right? So they was brought up differently in the first place, and then now he's gone as a black man to this club. He's now experienced the racism side of it, which he may not have experienced before. But you had to take your hat off to him when you saw the documentary. He said how you just said how we dealt with the things got his respect. But for him to come back years later and explain that to people so we understand, you have to give respect for that as well.
100%.
I agree with that. What you mean, the thing is though, right, you got other men who could angle up themselves, but probably didn't portray themselves the same way as Fash did, like Phil with Cyril.
Cyril Regis,
when him, you think say you could have ramped with Cyril? You must say joking. Cyril would tangle you up. Tangle you up like string.
Now you see, like Cyril. Now he was like one of them man that grew up on the streets, and he come with the street vibes into football, and he dealt with it that way. Out of all the film, like we just talked about Fash, he had a reason. He had a justifiable reason to.
Yeah, I hear that.
The rest of them didn't really. They just come with them attitude, but Cyril, like Cyril was different.
I'll feel him why there, because I've got a friend that who likes this guy. Go on. This guy, they call the man there, Ian Wright. See that boy there? He's a next man.
Who don't ramp him up.
I know some people, but he don't ramp him. Wright is a man there who will just tell you about your scenarioter. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
That's right.
You
see the thing with Ian as well, what I like about Ian, it will come and it will say what needs to be said, whether you agree with certain things or not. But if he has something to say, we'll come and talk the truth. Like when he was having to go about the African nation with out there football and that.
Yeah, that's right.
He came and he spoke it as he saw it, the truth, and a few other players said the same.
Yeah.
Whatever else, you know what I mean? But he was the forefront of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Went on social media with his podcast and said what needed to be said.
That's why I were a little bit upset when that, what you call it, Noko, did kind of say about he was taking the woman them job. As a pundit, right? Because I thought, well, not really, because Ian's been in the woman's game for a long time.
He's been
promoting the woman's game for a long time.
Yeah, is he into some kind of like ambassador?
He is.
You know
he
what
is.
I mean?
And she said, well, you know, he's taking a job what another woman would do like. But I'm thinking, no, not really, right? Because if the woman's good, she'll do the job.
Of course.
She'll do the job. If she's good,
she'll
do the job. Look how much woman depend on BBC now.
That's right. There's
look how much presentator and all them something that will run things.
But you know something? It had to change because there was a big push for that. You know what I mean? People were saying, hey, they ain't enough mix.
Yeah, diversity. You know what I mean?
And they had to switch up. They had to change. So, you know.
And I think that was the right thing to do because, like we said, women are in all kind of sports and they've got an opinion the same way. It's not just in the Olympics where you see women that will sit down there and talk, but they might have to come forward as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But remember, these people get asked to come onto the shows and do what they need to do. So when like that other one's talking about Ian Wright's been asked to come, so we need your opinion or whatever, then they ask him because he's good at what he does.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know? Something that we missed when we was away from the studio was the Ben and Eubanks fight. I've kind of like obviously been on since and spoke about that, but I haven't really got on a guy's kind of like a opinion on the fight. I did take it that on a guy's watched it. Yeah,
wicked fight, my friend. Wicked fight.
One of the best fight that me ever see. As good as them fathers. Go on.
No, go on.
It was as good as his fathers. Both give what they have to give. But at the end of the day, I feel the best man won.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree with that. And yeah, they did the fathers proud in that respect, yes. But the only thing I don't agree with was the 16-12 score.
Yeah, it was a little bit too...
I don't agree with that at all.
No, I don't think it was that far.
There was two Lions in that den that night.
That's correct.
You understand? And two Lions...
What score would you have give it then, if you didn't agree with it?
If they'd come to something like 16-14, 16-15, I'd have been happy with that.
Yeah.
Even if they said 16-14, I might have said, yeah, because I expected, to be honest, the fight might have come out as a draw.
I didn't feel it that way.
I thought the same.
And do you know, like, just going back to when you're talking about the scores,
mm-hmm.
Ben, for me, he was just weighing in, looking for them win.
He was. He missed quite a few.
I think that's why the score, they did it like it was. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And Eubanks, obviously, was the more composed.
He was more level-headed,
you could say. You know what I mean?
Because,
you know, if the second fight's going to get underway, which is 22nd of September.
Are they doing it?
I believe. They're negotiating. Ben can't fight like that.
He won't fight like that again.
Fix it up different.
Yeah.
But for me, I mean, I would blame his team for that because, I get it in some rounds, go for it and stuff, but nearly all the way through, I would blame his corner. And I think you've got to go for the tactical side of it as well. I would blame that as well.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because the new Eubanks camp knew that Ben's going to come for him. So he didn't have to go look for him.
They did.
So just let him come, pick him off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Flick that jab in fierce, build up your points. But there was one time where I have to laugh about this, where Eubanks said it's gone past that. He's just going to have to... Empty the tank, pan him.
That's right.
In the last few rounds.
It was the last two.
And that's what he did.
He did. The last two, you've got to say, Eubanks just decided, you know what?
Empty it all. Yes.
I'm just going to like...
Step up the last two rounds.
I'm just going to let go, pan you.
Do you know what I didn't really like, but I get it. It's like, I thought Ben, he didn't really kind of like say, fair play. Got to give it to him.
Right.
Yeah, because he gave it to me. Right. He was almost like saying, I burnt out. And I thought...
It wasn't giving him no props, was it?
Yeah, you know, because I don't know if you've heard any of this stuff afterwards.
I saw the interview.
Conor, Ben. I'm going to try and sound... Conor, Greg
you might you have heard this one.
That's fine, yeah. Spent the business. Listen, lovely seeing you here. What brings you here?
Well, if you want to see the races, you know, I was in New York Times Square for the Fatal Fury show. So, you know, I thought I'd stop off in Miami City F1.
Yeah, fair enough. And this, you know, how have all the messages been after the Eubank fight? You must be quite touched by the public reaction.
Oh, do you know what, mate? It's as if I had won. You know, he may have won the fight, but, you know, based on the way it feels, you know, I won the night. But ultimately, for me, winning is what's important, is what matters most. You know, so for me, it was like, I was so close now, and I'm disappointed in letting the fight be that close. You know, because when I say something, I say it with, you know, I fully mean it. So when I said I was going to get out of there in four rounds, I fully believed I would. So the fact that the fight was as close as it was.
And they're them big bombs, what you were throwing to get him out there, innit?
Times when you thought you were a couple of punches away from stopping, having them rocked.
A couple of times. Yeah. I mean, there was numerous times where I see his legs wobble, just couldn't get a finish. You know, because he ducked and he claimed me and he held well. But next time there will be a lot less emotion. I fought with a lot of emotion going in there, trying to take his head off.
You see what I mean? He said it, you know, fought with a lot of emotions. And I think, to me, that's, I wouldn't say bad management, but I would kind of have to blame the coaching side of that, really. Okay. You know what I mean?
Mm.
For not really managing his emotions.
Mm.
I get it. It probably can't have been easy, but that's what your team's there for. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So, you know, I think they probably would have to rein him in a little bit, but second fight, if it kicks off, it's going to be such a different kind of beast in there, you know?
So they're just going to carry this on, isn't it, really? Because really, for me now, I didn't agree with the whole hype up with it in the first place that it's been passed on to the Suns. They've had a fight, one loss, one would, for me, should have just done there.
Yeah,
so now, if you go and have another match now, and let's say Ben wins it, then of course you're going to have another one.
Yeah,
then you're going to have another one. And even if Ben, whichever one win it, what have we resolved now?
Nothing really. At the end of the day, the Eubanks family still are running things.
Mm. Nothing, you
they're
know
still,
what I mean?
They're still running things because Daddy beat Ben. Mr. Eubanks beat Ben.
Yes.
Right? The other one they said was Ja. Then the next Eubanks come there again now and touch up Ben again. So I'm not two nil.
So why are we carrying on with it? But you see, like Ben was saying in the interview, he did carry a lot of anger in him as well. Whatever.
Sorry,
but like you said, he wasn't managed properly.
This is what Eubanks had to say.
It was a great fight, and it's a beautiful day. The London Eye, Big Ben, the Houses of Parliament, London. The weather's nice. I'm happy. I'm truly happy. I did my best. I gave it my all. I didn't give up.
So that's a little bit of what Eubanks said. You know that. So what I'm doing is like compare contrast between the two of them. Ben's basically saying that, you know, burn himself out, you know, and then sort of like more control kind of like interview from Eubanks, you know, I did my best, you know, did it to the family and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's going to fight. Ben's going to have to fight a different one. And obviously the prize, the purse, Eubanks can kind of claim a lot more dollars for the second fight, because that was part of the contract that, you know, if he lost, you know, this is what he'd get. If he went to a second fight, probably would get less than that. But now he's in the driving seat. He can dictate. He can negotiate his kind of like wages, his purse or whatever, what people want to call it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think both of them obviously will grab the payday. I think it'll be on. Whether it's going to be the same kind of like victorious Eubanks after the fight, I don't know, but I think it's going to be a more controlled Conor Ben next time around.
Yeah, but look what Eubank had to go through to meet the weight, though.
Yeah, I think he's
and gonna, to go through all to put your body through that again.
Yeah, I think he's going to say that he's not going to include that dehydration thing.
You know what I mean? Because even after the fight, what did he ask for straight away? Water.
I think he said
the man was dehydrating. For him to go and put his body through that again, to go down and whatever else, it's all right for Ben. He's just got to work up a bit and come up, and he's building up his strength all the time. I mean, Ben looked lean, didn't he?
Mm.
He looked really lean and whatever. And like you said, if he had just controlled himself, he might have won that fight, to be honest, because he was flinging some licks.
Oh, they were coming from it anyway, innit? Like you'd probably see on a Saturday night downtown or somewhere. You know what I mean?
It was.
You know, like when people just go, there's a fight here, or at school or something. Fight. Yeah. Or them say, fight. You know what I mean? You just come in like one of them Saturday night kind of business. You know what I mean? Where you just get her on and say, Yeah, you dealt with him.
Different
fight altogether. I mean, going on what you said, G, about the kind of like weight loss and dehydration, I think there probably would have to be something again. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, I would certainly be saying, you know, just dig up in at the sunset and enjoy the rest of your life and that. But yeah, put your body through that again. You know what I mean?
Why would you want to?
For the extra dollars, man. You know what I mean? you know.
But like they said, I mean, there was a comment about him and Neymar that he must have owed Neymar some money.
I think it's about $4 million.
$4 million, they said. Mm. So let's say for argument's sake, he's cleared up that debt and whatever else he had to clear up. So the pocket won't be feeling as weighty, will it? So the next fight would be appealing from a money point of view. It's going to be appealing because could be the retirement fund, isn't it? No, really?
I feel so that fee in pocket, they're still a weird on because that real money where them fight for, I'm telling you, fee in pocket will be weird. All the inside tear out. Yeah, I mean, I tell you, so the whole of the pocket, they just tear out. So,
but if you have to give a man four bills out of that, four hefty bills out of that, and
what was it about
10 mil or something?
Yeah,
10 mil. So
is that what he got?
Yeah, he got ten mil, like that. And he's got to give which really common sense, you should pay back the man his money.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So you've got 6 left, and then what else you have to pay out to that?
Yeah,
but. Still, you know.
I mean, obviously, their lifestyles is different. Match it.
Yeah, well, you look.
You know what I mean?
You look, Pamela, at Eubanks and film
car.
See, have you seen his car?
Yeah, man.
He's going on like saying my Batman. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What's he driving?
Batman for real.
Batman car coming like, I don't know if
a Ferrari or something.
Yeah, want something like that. Yeah.
Oh no, it's a Lamborghini, I think.
Is it?
The bars go for them Lambo and stuff like them. Them foolish car.
My man. When I like to pure Batman.
Okay. So you say it's not a cheap condom car they need to run into.
No, and then my man, he's just Bentley him.
Ben, I've seen his.
That's even better still. Looking more comfortable. We can understand the Bentley more than the Ferrari and Lamborghini.
Weird, you are singing out like, so you know, they tune them.
Yeah. What do you mean? We've been there already, innit?
We've been there.
What is this? Give me the night, Mr. Benson.
Lord, he might call the name too. Lord of mercy. Go on, DJ.
I feel one that's something kind of show him I present, really, because
I
spoke with a deal with us.
A sweet talking sport like, show, innit?
A discotheque with that.
Yeah, man, watch him.
Why not? Just different. That's why we're just different. Right, yourself.
You know,
and the sweet talking sport family, them love it.
Yeah.
You know? Love it.
Go on, no way I say no.
Yeah. Talking about Paul Craig, we were talking about dehydration as well the other day. This guy's done something different. I mean, he's kind of like, Mr. Paul Craig.
Is that an MMA fighter or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
UFC developed an eating disorder while cutting weight. You know, so it's not no kind of joke business for people out there what think, oh, yeah, I can do this, I can do that, you know what I mean, and just fight at different weights. I mean, the 37-year-old Scotchman, he's had, 11-year career at light heavyweight and moved down to middleweight back in 23. And then he won a title fight against Muniz. Craig, who also lost the next three fights after that division, said he restricted his calories intake for 10 weeks leading up to the bout. That couldn't have been easy. Craig weighed about, 15 stone, 15.7, 7 pounds normally, and described to cut the UFC's middleweight threshold of 13 stone. As horrible. He said that he set his goals of being middleweight champion and focused and did it, but mentally ended up with an eating disorder. I mean, how
look at that.
Heavy is that?
Really?
You know? So, I mean, yeah, the eating disorder is defined as a mental illness, people might say, abnormal eating behaviors that have affected a person's physical mental health, including eating too much or eating too little. For me, you know, it's like
you do get a lot of that in it where they eat. I don't know if it's because they concentrate on a lot of these. Where they're not eating a lot, and then all the eating, and then going and then vomiting it up, and all them kind of
stuff. That's bulimia that into or whatever else. You see what I mean?
You see what I mean?
The man's put himself through that now. Look at the consequences of it all now.
But for me, I'd say, do you know what? It's not just him, although he has to take responsibility. But I mean, he's a professional, what, UFC. He's no kind of like, he's no kind of Mickey Mouse guy. This, you know, he's the guy's won titles, 17 fights, you know, 9 KOs, 1 lost. Do you know what I mean? So he's kind of rated kind of like really high. What I'm saying, me, is the team around him. Where are they? Trainers, promoters, where the family members, gym buddies, or whatever people want to say. Where are they? Surely they can notice a difference
in his behaviour.
100%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where's the arm around him to say, yo, you're all right. You know what I mean?
But that,
you know,
seems to be the thing.
Fight,
but that seems,
you know,
to be the things these days with a lot of these sports people who's winning championships. They're going up different weights and that to prove so they can do whatever and
true.
Be the first at this. I mean,
I get that. Yeah.
My girl's that. Done it, doing it. Oh, what's her name now? And the boxer as well, the black boxer guy, Wimnium now.
I mean, this guy, he turned pro back in 2013. You know, the British Association of Mixed Martial Arts champion, 2015. So 2 years later, he was British champ.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, kind of suffered a lot, you know.
To me, he's paid a hefty price.
100%.
He's paid a hefty price for that.
Should you have known better, though? Or did you think his just mind just run away with it? Said, you know what? I must get down to this weight. You know what I mean? I must shed this weight. You know, look what I'm eating and all that kind of stuff. And then we're talking about team around him. I mean, we're dietitians and stuff.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
But why is the association and that making these people do these things?
Yeah. So has he been let down by other people as well?
Yeah, because nobody's not saying anything, are they?
Yeah, maybe, because like if his management and stuff like that, I would have thought they would have been able to pick up some things, you know, they'd been able to pick up. But these people are very good at disguising it, though, to be fair.
Yeah, but we're saying that, though. For all we know, the teams could have said, I don't agree with you doing that. But at the end of the day, it's his call, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah.
You know, if you're a trainer, you're going to say, really, I don't think you should be dropping to that way because it's not going to do you good. Yeah, but I want to do this and I'm going to do it this, that. You either help me or you know.
I don't agree with these up and down ways.
It's not
good. It's not good anyway, is it, really? You know? Going to jump into the football thing now. Just bear with me now. We just kind of like deal with this something. Yeah. We're back on track with this something now. Just waiting for this thing to open up. I mean, going to talk about just Sheffield Wednesday for a little bit. Who are this? Just waiting for this thing to load, you know. Soon come true. And it's about the MP, what was busting. It raised a few concerns against Sheffield Wednesday, and he raised that in Parliament.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
And this...
We've heard stories from...
Come true now.
About the problems that some clubs have had with owners who simply are not fit for purpose. And been talking to colleagues in Reading, they came on a call, Teams call, with me and Sheffield MPs the other day to talk about their problems to Sheffield Wednesday supporters. And we should stop those clubs having to face those problems in the future. Now, Sheffield Wednesday, we have an owner who's not actually a bad man. He's put a lot of money in the club. He hasn't ripped the club off, but he's clearly running out of money to make the club sustainable. He couldn't pay the players' wages last month.
Mm-hmm. I threw him a talk, didn't it?
The tax dues a few weeks ago.
Tea lady nugget peer.
Another failure to pay will mean the club are subject to a transfer embargo for 3 transfer windows. That completely undermines both the competitive and the financial basis of the club. That's not acceptable.
Tell him, MP. Tell him. Captain, you're listening to this, isn't it? Lord. When I say captain, you're for one, Brooke.
That's normal. That's normal.
Yeah.
Therefore, I haven't got the money to pay the club's bills. We don't know what companies those are in Thailand. As far as we can see, he's no companies that earn money. We suspect that the money comes from the family trust that owns Thai Union Foods, John West and other brands. So, in other words, he's reliant on his family members to give him the money to pay the players' wages. That's not sustainable going forward. So, the fact that this...
Owners have the funds
to sustain the club going forward, and the source of those funds, so it's transparent and open for all to see, is absolutely key. Yeah. Not merely for Sheffield Wednesday, but for lots of...
Order!
The owner, as in other clubs, has separated the ownership of the ground from the club.
I don't think that was
for malevolent reasons. It was to try and get round the financial fair play rules
which is what the club. He's done that, isn't it?
And other clubs have got that problem as well.
Basically, what he's saying is that you want him out. And you want an MP back in to get him out. But the fans will be on his side too.
That is for proper reasons and done in a proper way. Unfortunately, when the ground is already separate...
Yeah. So, I mean, why them take the debate into Parliament?
Yeah.
I know we've heard about parliamentary procedure, but why? I saw it staying up, you know?
That's because most probably the lifestyle they live in. You understand? Man's out there holidaying, spending his big money on his house, his car, his missus wants this, kids want that. This is what happens. Football now is a business, and you ain't got the money to pay the players. I mean, what kind of foolishness is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first club, really, but it certainly won't be the last. But
it's just kind of like
mismanagement of monies and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting to get captain's opinion on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
because... He always likes to give a little, you know, opinion and pan other people, you know what I mean? 100%. So it'd be good to hear what he would say about, you know, because I have, in the past... Tested him out on a few things. But, you know, he never seems to, like, return anything.
I think the club's up for sale for about 130 mil. And that's to cover the kind of, like, losses as well. They'll be looking for a manager as well. They'll be looking for players as well. Hopefully they won't. They'll probably, I'll go for sign them a week before, you know.
The season starts.
They'll be looking for new fans as well, you know. You know, it's in a bit of a mess, really. I mean, Sanchiri, but he bought the club back in 2015 for 37.5 mil and did a deal with the stadium, didn't he? Did a clever move, that. I think that was a nice little kind of clever move. But,
He wants how much for it now?
I mean, 130 will cover the kind of like losses and stuff over time. You know, it'll have to be a big consortium to turn that around, may I tell you, you know?
So now, are we going to be expecting these players to play week after week without any money in their pocket now?
Well,
who's in business. Who's going to do that?
I feel them.
Yeah. Can't mean no something. I go kickball if me now get my money.
I hear you. But I like what I'm saying to you. I feed them business. Yeah, I feed them business. If them supposed to be big club.
So this could be the decline of one of our Sheffield clubs, well, the minute, really.
Well, like I said, if they're supposed to be a big club, it can't. If they're supposed to be a big club, they want to act like a big club because they're not acting like a big club. They're acting like, you know, them what they call it, Hallamshire League team there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what they're acting like.
Nobody's going to pay 130 for Wednesday. I don't see it at all.
No, I can't see that at all as well.
Nah. 2p something.
Moving on to, just want to big up Liam Rossini. His pops played football as well.
Yeah, for West Ham.
Both of them was pretty decent. Liam is now at Strasbourg. Kicking it out there, and he got sacked, got a boot from Hull City.
He did.
He's really making a massive difference now in the French league. I think they're sixth in the league. They're kicking on and pressing for Champions League football. But the reason why I want to deal with this kind of like topic as well is that it's Chelsea's kind of like sister club. So there's a few players that we might actually see in the Premiership in the near future. And they're kicking it up too. Now, one of them's a striker. And they're all kind of young as well. Amiga, 2022. Value is 17 mil. All-round game is kind of fairly strong. So that's a name to look out for. Also, the right back, Doe, another 22-year-old. Less flashy than his brother, who's kicking it up at PSG, but he's valued at 10.1. Right wing back, Barqua, age 22, valued at 15.2 mil. Keep an eye on that kind of player, or them kind of players. And also, Barako, left back, nearly forgot about him, is age 20, valued at 6 mil. He's actually played in the Premiership already with Brighton, but it didn't kind of like work out, and that was like last season. But Strasbourg, obligation to buy him, is on loan. And, you know, he's kind of like developing as a good kind of all-round kind of coach, this Rossini, doing really well. They say that he plays a similar kind of style as Maresco, but it's more kind of like pleasing on the eye. So, you know, Rossini, take a bow on that one.
Yep, you've got to big him up for that. He gets sacked here, goes across there, and he's pulling it out there, isn't he? So,
and it's the kind of like formations and that, you know, how he's kind of like really kind of like mixing up. He favours a style of football based on the art of expansion, in which the objective is to collectively push the opposition team into making mistakes. So it's almost like pressurising, and then when the ball's kind of like turned over, then traps are laid and they're off. You know what I mean? So I saw one move on YouTube the other day where the kind of like centre back was challenging for the ball in the kind of like penalty area, and it was the left wing back, I think, who crossed over the ball. So the midfield players, they kind of like just dropped back. So, you know, from getting, like CV says, from getting the chop at Hull City, who are they, you know what I mean, to kicking up at Strasbourg. But he's kind of like learning his trade very well.
Yeah, he has done by the sounds. I think fair play to him, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a good thing, you know, when somebody them do them kind of things, get rid of you because you're not good enough, but then you go somewhere and you prove your point.
You never know. If Wednesday could come for him.
Why?
No, he's not going to go there. He's not going to go there.
That's right. Go spoil for him character.
Yeah, he's not going to go there.
Yeah.
It's going to take a big person to take on Wednesday now.
That's
really
right. That's
right. And it's going to take a bigger person to buy Wednesday
well,
now.
Well, they've got their shortlist then Wednesday. You're talking Gary O'Neill, Rob Edwards, and there's a few.
Gary O'Neill?
Yeah, who did Bournemouth and stuff. Yeah.
So, at them
kind of people, them I look, you know. So they've got their own problems. We'll talk about a game, big game, FA Cup, tomorrow. Mr. V, you're heading to Wembley.
I am. Yeah. I'm attending.
And what is it going to be like, the atmosphere? Because you as a man who's been there enough times.
Yeah, I would have thought it'll be better this time round than at the semi-final against Notts Forest. Nottingham Forest, because I got a lot of stick of people saying, oh, you couldn't sell out your ticket allocation and all this kind of stuff. But for me, right, I don't bother with them people, me, because at the end of the day, right, Manchester City has attended Wembley over 31 times. 31 times. Going to Wembley for a semi-final, you're looking at over £200. Over £200 you're spending to go to the semi-final, right? And at the ending of the day, you see nothing. Whether your team wins or whether they lose. They win, that's it. You walk around the pitch, there's nothing. You're not seeing no cup, nothing. And you spent over £200 to go down there. Because the tickets are not cheap. Right, and within 3 or 4 weeks again, you're flinging out that next over £200 again to go down to the final. But what I'm saying, Wembley has increased it now. A ticket what was £30 is now £50-something. A ticket that was £90 is now £120-something. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you spend.
It's bound to go up with the inflation and all that kind of stuff as well, isn't it?
But you're spending all the time. Mm. So, but this time now, right, okay, City has sold their allocation. We had 33,400 and something, and they sold it. There's none left.
Mm-hmm.
And some silly person said, oh, well...
can you name that silly person?
No, because it was somebody on the media, you know what I mean? So I don't really name other people on the media.
I think naming them a silly person and make them look even sillier. You know what I mean?
They just came out with some silly thing about, you know,
silly smutty them.
End of the day, Crystal Palace, how far have they got to come?
Yeah.
Because the person said, oh, Crystal Palace sold their tickets out in a day. Right, fair dues. Not going to argue with that. But how far do Crystal Palace have to come? They're going on, what is it, a tube ride?
But we're coming. Yeah, not only that, but I mean, Palace, I mean, when last did they reach Wembley as well? So the excitement, you know what I mean?
So they've been there, what? This will be the third time.
Third time, yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
So to our 31 times, do you see where I'm coming from? You know, when you've not been for a while... Obviously, it's a big thing. Like Forest. When Forest, they hadn't been for a while, so they sold their allocation out.
Yeah.
City were there last year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before. You know what I mean? So it becomes a costly do. I'm already paying over £100. My ticket, right? I'm paying £75 for my ticket. £75, that's what I've paid for my ticket for tomorrow, right? And then... I'm paying, and because I can't be bothered to go to drive down there, I'm going on our British Transport, which is a train.
To me, that's the best thing to do, because driving in London now is costly anyway.
Yeah, so I'm going down there, and we're talking, if I hadn't got a certain rail card, you're looking at another £100 to go down there, right? So it's a dear do.
Yeah, it adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you haven't showed food on that yet.
Exactly. You know what
I mean? I mean, there was kind of like, and it's only little talkings as well, about whether the semi-final should continue at Wembley. And I think there's certain sectors who are pushing to say, do you know what? Neutral ground.
Yeah, it should be.
You know what I mean?
I think so as well. I don't think you should have it at Wembley. Wembley's for the final.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree that, you know, they had to kind of like, you know, kind of get more carning and all them kind of things when they built it. I get all that kind of thing. But, you know, now it's like, you know, like CV says, it's a costly thing. You know what I mean? Especially if your team's kind of like...
lives
there. You know, well, all them get there and one another, all them kind of thing, they will come out in a wash, but you know that's another story for another day.
Yeah, well,
but going on to the final itself, it's a difficult one.
Difficult
because Palace have got some kind of like bulls, you know, and them quick and slick.
Listen, you know? I don't even want to talk about them three musketeer up a front.
Yeah, as they,
let me tell you, them three musketeer up a front are frightening me. I'll jump up in my sleep at night time. Can't sleep. When the next minute, me a snow. And next minute, me a... So, me a jump up with SARS.
Yeah,
SARS. And the next minute, you say... Is it? Me say, where is it there? And me a look round. Me a look round for him. Me a tell you, say, them three man there, me free of them. Why, it's going to be a very... I'm hearing people talk, City are not going to do nothing.
Mm.
Where it's going to be a very, very hard game tomorrow. If we beat them tomorrow, I would say, yes, well done, City.
I think for me, with Palace, they obviously want to stay in the game. You know, first 20 minutes, maybe a little bit cagey. The longer the game goes on, the longer it's kind of like nil-nil, things will start to open up.
Well,
because they've both got weaknesses.
What I've noticed about them, right, they're a team that lets you come on to them. They like you to come on to them because they've got them three speed merchant there.
So we get a prediction going into the last minute?
I would say that hopefully City can just pinch that a 2-1 tomorrow. That's what I'm hoping.
I think it's going to be close. There's, for me, definite goals in it. And yeah, I can see City just edging it.
A pinch through the
quality of the outfield players they've got.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate now, and I'm going to say 2-1.
Go on, you devil. Go on, play a devil. Please do that.
You say it already.
All right.
We'll take it up next week, see what happens.
All right, then.
Yeah, sweet talking sport.
Look more.
Yeah. We are here. Away goes trouble, you bring. Away goes trouble down the brain. Gypsy.